Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. The gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Go and sow. This is important for everybody listening right now. We're not supposed to be just sitting around. We're supposed to go. All right. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a habitation of God in the Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit sometimes really offends people. And the move of the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we do know that the seasons tell us that Holy Spirit will begin moving here in these times. Do we have the childlike faith to receive that? And I would say also, are we really ready for kind of the old way of doing things to be shattered? Because God likes to shatter the old way of doing things. That's the idea of new wineskins for new wine. Luke 5, 38, 39 says something very, very interesting. If you've never read this before, I would strongly urge you to go there today. Luke 5, 38 through 39. And I want you to, if you're able to right now, just pull the scripture up on your phone right now and go to this passage. Because I've read the scriptures a lot, and particularly the New Testament a lot. I never read this until the other day. At least it didn't stand out to me until the other day. And I think it's critical for our times to really hear this passage. All right. Let's start in verse 37. Chapter 5 of Luke, verse 37. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Now, listen to this. Most of you have heard that before, but listen to the additional sentence here. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants new, for he says, the old is fine. In other words, the old wine, the old way of doing things is fine. I don't want anything new. We can never be there as Christians. We have to be hungry for the Lord, and God is creative, so he's going to do things new. Sometimes for people, it's a little scary, just like it was for people who challenged the old way of doing things. Indulgences in the church challenged the old way of doing things. You could only pursue God with your knowledge until Gregory Palamas came along and said, no, you also need to have an experience with the Lord, an intimate relationship. And today, we are seeing the beginnings of Holy Spirit pouring out, and none of us really knows what to do because we've never had to experience this before. So we should give grace to everybody as we walk through this, but also try to make sure it's done in a spirit of excellence. And however God is calling us and however God wants to pour out, not get ourselves in the way. Well, that brings me now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, coming to us from Deb Kefile. There's been a lot going back and forth on this, so I'm going to give a couple comments in addition to this article here. Biden nods to minor Russian incursion of Ukraine. Blinken hastens to clarify. So here's what happened. So Biden went on to say, all right, So he had a press conference. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But anyway, Joe Biden made a statement on Wednesday. It said this: if Vladimir Putin were to make only a minor incursion into Ukraine, then Russia would not face devastating sanctions. Then he went on to say Russia will be held accountable if it invades. So essentially, Republicans immediately jumped on that and said, hey, look, is the pretender greenlighting an invasion of Ukraine and throwing gasoline on the fire? And they hastened to walk back some of those comments. But in Brussels, tempers ran high. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said on Thursday at the opening of the World Economic Forum, if the situation deteriorates, if there are any further attacks on the territorial integrity of Ukraine, we will respond with massive economic and financial sanctions. Now, I'm going to continue this here for a second, but I want to be really clear. There are two opposing forces in America that for a long time I don't think have understood truly geopolitics or modern warfare. And just so we're clear, the anti-war movement came from the former Soviet Union as an attempt to weaken America. By the same token, interventionism came from people who wanted to weaken America. So you have to understand that the source of both, okay, is not from good guys. Here's the important part of what I'm saying. We are already at war with Russia. Russia's already declared war against us. So has China and so has Iran. Because they're already fighting different levels of warfare in different areas. It's just not kinetic. It's just not with tanks and troops and guns and airplanes. It is with cyber warfare and media warfare and political warfare and trade warfare. This is financial warfare. This is already happening. So to say, oh, we don't want to start a war with, they've already declared war on us. The communists are at war with America. And I'm going to get to this here in a second because the Soviet Union truly never fell. That was probably one of the grandest disinformation campaigns that are out there, but everybody talks about it as if it was the fall of the former Soviet Union without recognizing the KGB was always in control. And now who's in charge of Russia? A former KGB guy who, by the way, wants to recreate a neo-Soviet state, a neo-Russian empire. And you're seeing this with, like, the president calling Russia out, and Russia doesn't even, they don't even blanch anymore. The pretender calls out, and they don't even blanch. But even more interesting, the head of Kazakhstan, very closely tied to the former Soviet Union, to Russia. And people aren't even talking about this in the news, about how he was effectively in the Russian embassy in China. Anyway, my point is, with this statement by the pretender, that's actually making it worse, but we're not provoking the Russian. The Russians already had this plan. They've been working this plan for a decade plus to create a buffer against the West, meaning Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, and Ukraine, and Moldova. So to say that, you know, NATO is it's ridiculous. They've already been at war. They've already been working their plan. We just didn't recognize it in the policy halls in D.C. Now, moving on to Ann Magazine, Sam Faddis. And Travis, if you could bring this up right now. It's called Back in the USSR. Sam Faddis is doing one of the best jobs in the real objective analysis of what's happening over there. Vladimir Putin famously described the breakup of the former Soviet Union as the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. Yes, you heard that correctly. He made no secret of his desire to reconstitute as much of the former USSR as possible. The Ukrainians have already reported what amounts to the beginning of hostilities. On the night of January 13th to 14th, hackers launched a cyber attack against a host of Ukrainian government websites, including the websites of the Ministry of Education and Science, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Ministry of Energy, the Ministry of Agrarian Policy, the Ministry of Veterans, the Ministry of the Environment, and the State Emergency Service, the State Treasury, etc. The message was really simple. At any time, the Russians wanted the Ukrainians to know that they could take their entire online infrastructure down. Now, some people recognize this for what it is, fourth-generation warfare. They try to call it hybrid war now. Don't call it. It's just fourth-generation warfare, where there are multiple battlefields across multiple things. American intelligence officials have also warned that Russia has already deployed operatives inside eastern Ukraine to carry out acts of sabotage there and blame them on Ukraine in a false flag operation to create a pretext for a possible invasion. So look, this is already happening. They recognize it. Now, Western sources have also documented the alarming buildup of Russian forces on the border with Ukraine. And by the way, they moved hospital units up, and one of the key things that you look for is air defense units. They moved air defense units up, both of which are really, truly precursors to war. And then also, today, Russia has moved forces into Belarus, coming to us from TASS. They try to blame NATO, of course. And so now they're saying we need to move troops into Belarus. Here's the bottom line from a strategic perspective. Kyiv is near the border of Belarus. Russia is on the eastern border of Ukraine. They want to do a pincer movement. And Kyiv is right there on the Dnieper River. They want to do a pincer movement, take out the capital and take out the second largest city, Kharkiv, which is in eastern Ukraine. And hopefully bring Ukraine to its knees, creating a buffer there. That's what the Russian plan is. You can see it coming a mile away. And again, not because NATO is doing anything, but because Vladimir Putin already had these plans in the works for a decade. And so I'm tired of these asinine statements out there of people who do not know history and really don't understand geostrategy trying to say, oh, no, NATO's causing this problem. Oh, it's NATO. Right, we're, you know, it's warmonger. They were already going to do it. So stop that. Just don't even bring it up because it doesn't make any sense. Now, if we were fighting fourth-generation warfare, trade warfare, cyber warfare, political warfare, media warfare, financial warfare, if we were actually fighting it well, we would not have to worry about a physical invasion of Ukraine. Oh, but it's Ukraine. Why should Americans care? Why should they care? Because what the Russians want to do is capture natural gas development deposits in eastern Ukraine so that the Ukrainians cannot supply Europe and so that Russia has a stranglehold over Europe with gas. And oh, by the way, here in the United States, that's exactly what they're doing through the pretender and his administration locking down our energy reserves and locking down our natural gas reserves. We have 400 years supply, by the way, 400 years reserve of natural gas. There is no reason we couldn't be exporting, no reason we couldn't be developing those things except for the so-called green agenda and the pretender, which is really all about strangling the United States to help strangle Europe so that the Russians can effectively take over and influence the entirety of Europe, which was what their original plan was under Stalin. Again, if you want some books to read about this, Disinformation by General Mihai Pachipa, you can also read about this in the book Target Patton by Robert Wilcox, which takes a lot of the other works, the Matroikin archives, the Venona transcripts, Pavel Sudoplatov's special tasks. He was the assassin-in-chief for Joseph Stalin, takes these books and kind of boils them down so it's really quick to eat and easy to understand. So this really literally is a continuation of World War II and a continuation of the Russian plans to create buffers against the West and ultimately control via fourth generation warfare much of Europe. And if you don't, look, if you don't believe that, go read the books. But do not come spouting something that you're repeating from somebody else without reading the primary source documents first, like AKA the Venona transcripts, the broken Soviet cables that Joseph McCarthy had access to, by the way. The Matroikan archives, the largest archives to come out of the former Soviet Union that detailed a lot of this stuff and the infiltration of Soviet agents into the United States. Which brings me to kind of the national front, but it comes to us from understanding the threat. Great article, Real Communists Intend to Destroy America. I'm going to be posting this up online. Whitaker Chambers was read by President Ronald Reagan. And this is what Whitaker Chambers said, okay, in his book Witness. This is the book that revolutionized Ronald Reagan's thinking regarding the Cold War. Quote, "The power to influence policy has always been the ultimate purpose of the Communist Party's infiltration. It was much more dangerous, and as events have proved, much more difficult to detect than espionage, which beside it is trivial, though the two go hand in hand." In other words, influencing policy in Europe through fourth generation warfare, you don't have to physically take over the countries. You just have to take over the political sphere, the financial sphere. You have to take over the industrial complex, the military industrial complex. And then you have the ability to influence policy throughout all of Europe. And then, of course, the energy issue. So important to understand this, where we're at right now. Which brings us to China. Coming to us from the National Pulse. And Travis, if you can bring up that Chinese Communist flag, I want to say something about that quickly too. The governor in Olympia flew the Chinese Communist flag over Easter weekend here a few years ago in Olympia. In Boston, Massachusetts, they flew the Chinese Communist flag, but they refused to fly the Christian flag. But here is the important part of this. The Chinese Communist Party is still buying up American land. Chinese Communist Party is continuing its U.S. agricultural takeover. They're going for the food supply, just like every time the communists do. 1932, 1933, hello to more. Joseph Stalin ordered all the grain locked up, soldiers surrounding it, millions of people died. U.S. agricultural takeover, buying hundreds of thousands of arable acres across the nation. The purchase of U.S. land is part of the CCP's food security initiative, posing a significant threat to food and national security for the American public. Republicans appear willing to confront the risk by introducing amendments to H.R. 4356 and the 2022 Agricultural Appropriations Bill to limit land ownership and tax incentives for foreign investors. You think this is just one more example of fourth generation warfare. Now, because we're not all about the Chinese and the Russians, we're going to go to England. Boris Johnson, out of the blue, announces remaining COVID-19 restrictions in England will be lifted. This coming to us from Politico. Boris Johnson on Wednesday called time on COVID-19 passes, the mandatory wearing of face masks, and guidance to work from home. The UK Prime Minister told MPs the government had got the big things right in its handling of the pandemic, adding that it would look to bring forward the lifting of regulations requiring those who have tested positive for COVID-19 to isolate and changing it to advice and guidance. I want you to hear this. Our scientists believe it is likely that the Omicron wave has now peaked nationally, while also cautioning there remain significant pressures. This is what it looks like it's shaping up to be. Around about March, April timeframe, suddenly COVID is done. Replaced thereafter by war to mask the economic downturn and destruction, by the way, that is happening inside the United States. And we come against these things in Jesus' name. But this appears to be their plan. How else could you cover up the fruits of this horrendous policy? The Chinese are closing ports right now for very dubious reasons. The Canadians were going to close the ports, essentially the border crossings, through policies they were doing, by the fact that a lot of truckers that come into America weren't vaccinated, and vice versa, American truckers going into Canada weren't. Now the truckers are striking. So this comes to us from Global News. Crossing delayed Monday at Manitoba U.S. border as truckers protest vaccine mandate. It's a slow roll protest. Canadian government looks like it's backing off a little bit now. But the fact of the matter is supply chain shortages are already happening. So what are we doing as Americans to prepare for this? And do we actually understand that this is just another form of warfare? Creating policies where people can't possibly all comply. Is it? Now, I want to talk about on the national front something that was snuck in to a bill that Congress passed and it was signed into law. But it's somebody finally unearthed this. It's coming to us from Technocracy News and Western Journal. Very interesting. Okay. This infrastructure bill that was passed here recently on page 403. So I want you to remember that, page 403 of the infrastructure law that was signed by the pretender, is a mandate for a government backdoor kill switch for cars. Buried on page 403 of the legislation, the provision requires advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology to be built into all new cars. This technology will be able to passively monitor the performance of all drivers, suggesting the system will be on at all times. Now, I warned about this in the legislature. I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago that they were headed this direction with the voluntary little pucks for insurance companies, that they were headed in this direction. Now, this measure is set to take effect in 2025. If the data indicate the driver is impaired, the system will prevent or limit motor vehicle operation according to the legislation. In other words, the government will have the ability, without a trial, without eyewitnesses, to shut your car down as a kill switch. Here's what Technocracy News says. To the delight of the UN Sustainable Development ideologues and control freak technocrats, private car ownership in America has suffered a fatal blow. Vehicle kill switches are now mandated by 2026 in Biden's infrastructure bill that was just signed into law. Those who warned in December that this was in the bill were called, quote, conspiracy theorists, end quote, except that now they're right. So it's no longer theory, by the way. The United States federal government is apparently in the process of trying to force automakers to install kill switches in their vehicles that authorities can use to shut down any newer vehicle. Travis, I know you don't remember this era, but we actually used to have, like, my grandfather had this 1976 GMC three-quarter ton. It had a little switch there. You could switch between two fuel tanks, right? It was the first year they actually had shoulder belts. I know that seems weird, but way back in the day, you didn't have to worry about your vehicle just suddenly stopping because some government bureaucrat thought something was going wrong. So I predict that older cars now are probably going to be at a premium. I'm just going to predict that right now. All right, let's shift next to, I don't know why we talk about the pretender so much, but it just, he's making the news all over the place. Okay, the conservative brief, let the 25th Amendment discussions begin. Biden slammed over embarrassing press conference. On Wednesday, the president gave a long press conference where he actually answered some questions from the media off the cuff. That is usually not a wise idea for him. Oh, including the comment we talked about earlier on the minor incursion of Ukraine. Many people were saying that President Biden should now be the object of the 25th Amendment. For those of you that don't know that, that is essentially the cabinet voting The president is not in the control of his full cognitive faculties and therefore cannot any longer serve as president of the United States. One Senator Josh Hawley said this: store shelves are empty, prices are soaring, real wages are declining. American cities are engulfed in violence. The border is controlled by the cartels, and parents are treated as terrorists while actual terrorists go free. When do the Dems seriously consider the 25th Amendment? A fantastic, prescient question. All right. Coming here locally, we have the Circle the Pride, and Pride being the Pride of Lions event here on Saturday at On Fire Ministries. And you can check that out online and on Facebook. I think we'll get it posted up here in the comments. But just wanted to make sure everybody knew about that. And also, if you're searching for a home church and you want a church that's alive and is on fire, stop by 10 o'clock on Sundays. The Lord's moving, and I believe that Spokane is at the center of a lot of what is going to happen here in the next 2 years. Which brings us to the last article, and try, you got to bring this picture up. This is fantastic. I love this, okay, because it's so cute. All right. We're going to actually do a good news article from the Epic Times. Man finds poor abandoned puppy living in a shoe, feeds her, and gives her a home. Serbian man found this abandoned puppy and named the puppy Coco. And just a super cute story there that even amidst the worst of things, let's focus on what matters. Our family, taking care and stewarding the earth as the Lord has called us to do. And not being afraid of what is in the news, but actually making it a motivation for us to take action. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And remember, you can find us anywhere on social media. I don't know if there is any social media site that we're not on. USA Life, Getter, Parler, Gab. Look, I know the problems that are out there with Getter. Okay, I got it. We're on Gab. We're on Parler. Find us there at Matt Shea and share these things with your family and friends so that they can get educated on what's actually happening. All right, it's my honor to bring back on once again David Sumrall. He is a Christian, a carpenter, a small business owner, an activist, a citizen journalist, documentary filmmaker of writing history, and the founder of Stop Hate and StopHate.com. He is the co-founder of the American Celebration Tour and the creator and host of Discussion Island. David, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know how it goes, bro. I have no complaints.
Amen. Better than you deserve. Blessed and highly favored. I love it. So there's a lot happening right now in the world. I just want to get your comments just quickly up front. The pretender effectively green-lighted an invasion of Ukraine today. It seems like every time he gets in front of the camera, he should just stop talking. It would be better for our standing in the world and just better all the way around. What are your thoughts on what's going on around the world and kind of this reaction to the pretender's press conference today?
Well, I think it's something everybody needs to be acutely aware of. We're seeing not only the war issue there, we're seeing the domestic violent extremist here. It's just a culture of war and devastation that they're trying to, come in here and hit us while we're down. Everybody's kind of weak from the COVID scare and, trying to get our wits about us and kick them while they're down. I mean, if that's not part of a plan, I don't know what is. But the leadership, this is what everyone's fear has been, is that, we get this kind of administration that's, not what America needs, let's just say like that. And it puts us in very horrible positions in the world, and not only in respect, but in real crisis situations, it's horrible.
Yeah, it really seems like March, April, like COVID's suddenly going to end, right? This is their timeline, and that's probably what they're meeting about to discuss at the World Economic Forum right now is, how do we end COVID and then replace it with war? And, they've been trying to foment war here in America for quite a long time. But it seems like they're also fomenting it outside these borders.
They are, and it's inside outside. This is what we're seeing, and you'll listen to the narrative from politicians, you know, gearing up for even 24, saying civil unrest. You know, there's going to be, you know, violence no matter who wins. Ted Cruz the other day was saying, you know, we've got to get ahead of the violent rhetoric that we've heard for the last 2 years on both sides. It's a real issue. We see the government scared because the people, the governments, let me change that, because the people around the world are waking up and taking back what's theirs.
Yeah. I think that's what they're just deathly afraid of, is that Americans are waking up and saying enough is enough. And I think Boris Johnson may have, I'm not sure what motivated his decision, but there's so much backlash right now. I think they're finally like, hey, you know, enough is enough. And they're more worried about preserving their own positions of power than they are anything else. So I think we're seeing a turn, but a lot of times you see this Hegelian step backwards and then they wait until everybody goes to sleep again. And then they start pushing forward again.
That's the way I see the mandates with OSHA as well. I think it's give them an inch and then take a mile. You know, I see the same thing with Governor Abbott here in Texas, you know, about some of the restrictions on rallies and whatnot. It's like they appease, they try to put a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery for so long. But that's the thing. Boris really stirred things up by doing that. I think that, you know, that might be the shot heard around the world today. And it's real funny. We all moved to America to get away from that. Now it's like, well, would we really want to move back? It may be better than here now.
Boy, that would be a tough pill to swallow moving back to England. My goodness. Yeah. So here in America,
we got friends up there. We're good. We've got friends.
We do. And we got one really good friend, Mark Sutherland. He's doing a great job over there. So here in America, though, we have this continued push for this fantasy disinformation line regarding January 6th. And it seems like the more information that comes out, the more it appears that there was an intent to foment, not just a divide in this country, but to foment violence between two sides in this country, obviously with the intent to weaken us, because a house divided very rarely stands, if at all. So what is your thoughts on that? And what's new that's coming out in regards to January 6th?
Oh my goodness, there is so much. Well, you know, we all went to junior high. And you remember when somebody came up and said somebody said something about you, and then they went back and told them something different. And before you know it, the kids were out fighting at recess, and everybody's getting a good time watching, you know, because you can poke people. This is the same thing the government's doing with the public, and it's completely unfair. They are making us hate each other by telling lies about each group. And so the January 6th thing has been really the year-long battle. I'm glad to report we finally, yesterday, found the very last murder victim by Capitol Police, Benjamin Phillips. We had been searching for a year for evidence on his death. He's one that the government had said had a stroke, never even made it to the event, was parking the bus, got separated from his friends. And then when the friends were looking for him that evening, they called, and a policeman finally called their number back and said, meet us here and we'll tell you. And they told him, hey, he had a stroke and died. Sorry. And they went back and told the wife, well, he had a stroke and died. But our video shows that just like Kevin Greeson, he was struck with a concussion grenade, suffered a heart attack. The crowd tried to get him medical help. They eventually carried him out on a barricade. And we have all the video. So what I want people to take away from this is every single death, all five, including Officer Sicknick, are in the hands of the Capitol Police. Officer Sicknick had a stroke around 3 o'clock. A Trump supporter took him to the police and said, this man had a stroke. Please get him medical attention. At 3, at 7:30, another medic, a Trump supporter, protester, was there and said, I'm a medic. Please, this guy's in bad shape. Let me treat him. They would not let him. He said, please get him. Oh, we got a medic. Several hours later, around 10 o'clock, Sicknick finally collapsed. The coroner, the medical community, the media, the government all said, pay attention, he was bashed in the head. His skull was collapsed by a fire extinguisher. Then they had to back off. So, well, there was a gash on his head. Then they finally said, well, maybe it was, you know, it wasn't physical. The coroner's report came back. No physical injuries, inside or out. No fire extinguisher. Oh, and no chemical spray. They said, well, maybe he got sprayed. We had video that from 7 hours and 40 minutes before he collapsed. Well, how do you know exactly? You've been through this footage. You know what happened. You know he had a stroke. And you tried to blame peaceful protesters for a murder of a man who died of a stroke. You didn't get him medical treatment. His death is on the government's hands, and they are trying to exactly do what I'm saying, and that's blame people for a murder. They laid him in state for 3 days in the Capitol and buried him in Arlington National Cemetery as their martyr, and he's our hero. He is wow. helping expose the lies of the left and the right, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly, because it is both sides engaged in disinformation right now.
It is. It truly
so,
is.
Yeah, and people just see Republican after somebody's name. I saw this in the legislature, and man, the doors would close, and they turned into totally different people. And the things they would say about average Americans was just absolutely abominable.
It's horrible. Yeah,
go ahead.
There's no respect for the citizenry. Listen, if you will lie to the entire nation about how five peaceful protesters died, slander their names. They said Kevin Greeson tased himself in his genitals over and over that his taser went. They said that Benjamin Phillips just had a stroke. They said Roseanne Boyland had a drug overdose. They beat her to death with batons. The police did. They said that Ashley was shot because she's wrong place, wrong time. We have video of her walking in there with the police saying, where's backup? Y'all need to get some help. Y'all need some water? Y'all okay? It's a totally different story than what people have been fed. Completely up is down and down is up. That's disgusting for a government to make its people war against themselves by a false narrative that they've pushed day and night for a year. That's conspiracy. That is terrorism. That's why they've weaponized the FBI. Listen, I was going to interview Stuart Rhodes last Thursday at 2:00. FBI kicked the door in at noon and took him away. I did not get the biggest interview in the country. See, no one's going to the source and saying, I want to ask you what's going on. They saw, you know, they're watching what I do. And when they saw I had a meeting, they said, that can't happen. I feel responsible for getting him thrown in jail. But, hey, dude, I don't know how much longer I'll be here.
Well, I want to talk about something you just mentioned, and that is the new video that was released regarding Ashley Babbitt. Now, for me, when I first saw it, and I first saw exactly what happened, and I've analyzed before these types of horrendous situations from a military perspective, and I saw it happen. I said, she was murdered. I mean, there was no question. There was no manifestation of hostile intent on her part, nothing. And now we see a video that she was actually going in to help stop any incursion and help. And if you could comment on this, because it from my perspective, is conclusive on this exact point.
Well, this is beyond conclusive, Matt. Let me tell you, this is the exact thing. So the politics, the politicians, media, they're still going to repeat their lie over and over and over. And they're going to tell you, don't believe what your eyes see. Her walking in there saying, stop these people. What are you doing? Call for backup. We need people here to help stop. What are you doing? And that they never did anything for her. And now they're trying to say she's a horrible terroristic criminal that deserved. And listen, Michael Leroy Byrd is the most cowardly Barney Fife-type officer in the world. One shot fired that day hit an innocent, unarmed, defenseless, peaceful protester. And the media has painted her like an animal, slandered her in every way they can, trying to take apart the story and find some little thing. This is the reason they didn't say anything about when Officer Sicknick died. It took them 24 hours till the next night to finally decide how to spin the story. Well, he had a stroke, so let's say he got hit in the head. You know, Roseanne had a little Adderall in her system. Well, let's say she had a drug overdose. These other two guys died of heart failure. Let's just say it was heart disease, not grenades. So this is the truth. This is what's happening. We have all the evidence, the video. Wrapping up a story tonight, we hope to bring tomorrow that will explain each of the five deaths in detail and let people judge for themselves about the coroner, Roger Mitchell, who also influenced the Chauvin case from afar and switched that verdict and got Chauvin thrown in jail. There's so much deep corruption with this entire, it's the old players, it's Merrick Garland and Comey, people from back in the day that have been positioning themselves. Steve Antuono from the Michigan plot with Whitmer that got moved to D.C. a few weeks before the 6th to pull off the same scam in a bigger way. You know, let's take it to Fauci from the 80s with AIDS. Now we're dealing with today his newest experiment version of VAIDS, you know, vaccine-acquired immunity deficiency. You know, we're looking at the same repeats of history, and we the people have to be the ones to stop and say no more of this.
No more of this. I completely agree. And yet we've got people like Dan Crenshaw who refuse to lift a finger. And now the people are actually so awake in the right sense of that term, they're beginning to hold these people accountable. How many U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen, U.S. congresswomen do we have that actually are doing anything about this issue and bringing it up for investigation?
Well, we have my favorite Paul Gosar. He's my hero. He's the steadfast fighter we've talked to for months, and since just a few months after it started, we've been working and talking, communicating with him, giving him what we have. They want the evidence. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz try, you know, Gohmert, you know, they're all three in the fight to an extent. I know everybody's busy, but, you know, you've got people like Crenshaw. We called him out months ago, and Cruz months ago, and people get mad at us. Hey, how can you say anything? Well, something about discernment and listening to people and watching them and paying attention to their history and what they say. When he said that Jesus archetype, Crenshaw, comment months ago, that was it for me. That was it, you know. And listen, if you're misspeaking, then you don't need that job anyway. We don't need you to misspeak. But that tells more about when you hold someone up as a hero or a savior type, and you really don't see anything wrong with them because you never asked them the right questions, maybe. And then when you do and you find out they're just part of the same old group, it's just another, it's a male Clinton that will say anything they want to do and change at a whim. And that's disgusting for people. We need true representatives of the people. And I'd be hard-pressed, other than Gosar and the few that I mentioned, people need to ask themselves, who really speaks like me? Who sounds like me? Who talks like me? Who has the same values that's one of my representatives? And then when you find out none of them do, you'll realize this is the time to change. Maybe some regular rookie green people need to get up in these positions and use the rule book, and we'll wing it and figure it out. But we can do that, and it's better than what we have.
David Summerall, StopHate.com. I want to ask you, too, this is kind of the critical question. How do we actually heal the nation? I mean, how do we – it is so polarized right now. And in some respects, it needs to be polarized because I believe communism is antithetical to America. I believe jihadis are antithetical to America. So in some sense, there has to be some polarization. But – it seems like we're all headed on a course where this country doesn't look like it does today here in 5 years.
That's right. Well, listen, I appreciate that question most of all. I think that people look at the problems all day and don't look at the solutions. We really need to explore how to do that. And I truly believe that, you know, my mission with StopHate.com is about healing and restoration. It's in our acronym, Heal Attitudes Through Education. I believe the communication. I believe that we have to start with truth. Case in point, January 6th, if I believe one thing and you believe another, we can't agree. We will never see it. We have to know what the truth is. We have to know who we're dealing with. They have to be exposed. It's like alcoholism, I guess. You have to get to the bottom before you can stay. And we're almost to the bottom. We're really close, but you know, people haven't seen suffering yet. We haven't experienced the kind of war that we've had in our past that we don't want to experience. Nobody should hope for any civil war. That's the worst stain on our history ever. We have to come together. I believe the simple answer is we need more Jesus. A lot of people don't agree with that, but maybe they will soon.
I completely agree with that. We need more Jesus. That is the answer. And the fact is there has to be an awakening in that realm first before there's transformation of a society. It's never the other way around.
That's right. And I believe that, you know, the restoration, we've forgotten what grace is. We've been quick to cut down, quick to condemn, quick to throw stones, instead of saying, look, I've been there, I've messed up, I've said bad things, I've done dumb things. I don't like it when people poke me when I'm down, and I appreciate grace and forgiveness. And we do need to get to that point of restoration and realize that we've been conditioned and programmed to absolutely not understand each other, and not only to dislike, but to hate each other. And it's going to be our own action and communication that fixes that problem.
It has to be. And we have to rally around the things that made this country great. And yes, we are a republic, not a democracy. And just basic principles like that, that should bring us all together.
That's right. Well, our school system's been stacked against us, our education, our colleges. People need to keep a close eye on George Washington University, feeding our Congress and Senate and media on talking points and how to push this domestic violent extremism. There's a lot of things in the works, you know, the Muslim issues, and really it's a matter of action. We've said this 1,000 times. Get involved. Go to your school board. Go to your city council. Talk to your neighbors. Have a barbecue. Do something that puts you in communication with other good people. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hang out with like-minded folks. In the Christian book, in the Bible, that's what it tells us. And I think we've gotten away from that societally. And we'd rather Netflix and chill in our little bit of spare time than seed the relationships that we need to have for the future.
Yeah, because it takes effort and it takes work. And, along those lines, it really appears that the current administration is trying to demonize anyone who believes in Christian values, anyone who believes in the things that made America and make America great, anyone who believes that this is a republic, res publica, the rule of law, that you can't vote away the rights of the minority, that the rights stand for all time because they come from God. So it does really clearly appear that they're trying to demonize a segment of the population instead of going after the actual bad actors that are undermining this country.
Yeah, it's really funny, Matt. You know, they'd have to go after themselves. And I can't remember that point in history where they ever did that. You know, that's the frustrating part, because I just think it's a matter of time. I think, you know, the January 6th, we're beyond the tipping point. More people are in the know now than weren't like before. And I think in the country in the same manner, the more people realize that, and you know, here's the secret weapon. When they put stop hate on the news, the left is going to say, what is that? Not only the right won't look at it because we don't believe, you know, we're funny like that. But it's hilarious, because this is really what we need, is just to stop and look at each other and say, I want better for my kids. We can get along. We're not going anywhere. The planet's not getting bigger. Nobody's moving away. We have to find a way to get along. And it doesn't happen like this at the grocery store. I think I said that last time. You don't fight at the grocery store with people of different colors or whatever. You're in there to buy groceries and help each other. And that's life. That's your crosscut of America right there. Don't listen to the news and fall for the bait and the programming. And unfortunately, we all drink from the same Kool-Aid bottle to an extent. The movies and music and media, and there's a definite program there. I suggest trying to get away from as much of the world as you can and get into the Word and figure out what God says about all this.
Amen. And I want to just address the youth right now. Yes. There are so many distractions. In fact, I think the greatest enemy we have today is distraction.
Yeah.
There are so many distractions, so many avenues of programming, movies and TVs and video games and advertisements and social media and all these things. How do we get the truth to the youth?
Ooh, that's where you have to ask God for help on that one, brother. And here's the truth of it. We see this, the distraction. That's a great statement you made about that being the enemy. But the dumbing down of America has been the only successful war. People don't think for themselves. There's not critical thinking. There's not civil debate. It's all about entertainment and distraction, diversion. Like I always say, squirrel, you know, and that's where we live. But these poor kids, these are the ones I feel sorry for. We've been saying for years, you know, when AOC's up there saying the world's going to end, what does that do to their little minds? What does that do to their hopes and their dreams? And then you see COVID and the masks for all this time and all the fear and injections and people literally falling out now. And, you know, how are they supposed to cope with that? They really need to find what the older generations, what the World War One generation, World War Two generation, found their faith and strength and hope and joy and trust in God. And we have gotten so far from that as a society. Just look at the percentages, you know as well as I do, and you'll see that that's on us as well as the church. I mean, I'm the church. It's my fault. It's our church. It's us. And we were not doing what we needed to do outreach-wise. We weren't trying to bring people in. We're just trying to entertain ourselves. I mean, every good church, you know, it's like the coffee shop with a church around it. And that's not as much, and I'm not blaming every church, you know what I'm right. saying, but I just feel outreach, in the 70s, 80s, it was a different thing. There were socials, there was all that. And I think that's as much the corona and shutting the country down to separate even more and divide. And then you can't talk. Then you can't communicate. Then you just worry and you're scared because you don't know. That's the biggest thing is fear. And they use that on us every single day. It's so sad. I just refuse to live like that. My God says over 300 times, don't fear. I've got this. God's not up there wringing his hands about any of this stuff. He's got a bigger plan. We just need to stay active and wait for him.
Yeah, he's not surprised by any of this, not at all. Well, last couple minutes that we have left, where can people go to find out more information? And specifically, what should people watch first, or where should they go first in this journey for the truth?
Okay, well, we had a really nice website with news on it. It was called StopHate.News, and the powers that be didn't like it, made it disappear. Everything we have right now is on StopHate.com. You can find all our social media sites on there, follow us, and see a lot of different kinds of posts. But StopHate.com has a movie everybody needs to see. It's free. You can download it for free and share it for free if you would, please. But it's Writing History, starts with R, R-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, History, and it's a 37-minute time-sequenced a documentary on January 6th, starts the day before, and literally 37 minutes, you'll be finished, and you'll want to watch it again. It's the closest thing to being there you'll ever see, and it shows all but one of the murders. It shows one that we thought was a murder, but he didn't die. He just had his legs broken, so that police brutality no one talks about. But Writing History is the most important. I believe it encompasses more of the day. There's more truth in that. If we could get that out more, I believe people's perception would instantly change personally, and then we can continue to influence our politicians and all the law enforcement that are still hunting us all down and trying to hold us indefinitely without bail or bond, because that's what's happening.
Yeah, that is.
Long story short, yeah, StopHate.com, y'all. And, you know, you can reach out to us on there. There's tips at StopHate.com if anyone has video. We're still getting video from January 6th from the public. Tips at StopHate.com is the email. And really, the social media, the Instagram, Telegram's got a good room on there. It's all available at StopHate.com.
Yeah, that is Writing History, I think, is exactly the place to start. I really want to thank you, David, for coming back on again. Blessings to you. Keep up the fight, and I look forward to having you on again with any new updates.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you too, my friend.
All right. David Summerall, StopHate.com, and check out Writing History. That's the place to start with this journey to the truth. And I want to end today by just highlighting something that a lot of people, I think, miss in what we're facing today, and it's just our aspects of humanity. God builds from the inside out, starting with the spirit, then the soul, and then the body. That would be glorification for those of you who are theologians. And then our relationships and our finances. The enemy attacks from the outside in. And so when you see COVID, you see finances, the economy. You see relationships, isolation. You see health attacked from the outside in. So we know that that's the enemy's tactic. And as the church, we should be praying along these lines against the enemy's avenues of attack and understand that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy is the great deceiver and always thrives on lies. We should not have to ask for the truth. We need to seek it out. We need to seek it out, because in today's world, you ask for the truth, people perceive that as an open door to try to lie to you. Seek out the truth. Don't just take what the news media says. Don't just take what you read online. Go to the primary source like David was talking about. Ask him. Find the videos. Get the real story. Get the truth. Because here's the thing. The media has come against many of us. Smeared us. Called us all kinds of things, right? And then people find the truth out that the alleged white nationalist compound in Northeast Washington, the associate pastor there is black, and they're like, wait a minute. I was lied to. Yeah, you were lied to. And they're like, well, how do I prevent that from happening again? Go to the places that give you the primary source documents. The New American, Understanding the Threat, StopHate.com. Look at it for yourself. And then when you have the truth, share the truth with your friends and family so that they don't continue to walk in darkness. There's no longer the blind leading the blind. I believe in this year, there are going to be so many competing messages. There's so much information out there. And a lot of this is intentional so that we become experts on 2,000 details, but not the bigger picture. Take a step back. Look at the bigger picture. The Chinese and the Russians are taking advantage of a weak American administration. Jihadis are pressing the attack, even here in this country. And what is the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ, focusing on him first, and then our republic. We make Jesus Christ back at the center of our lives, he will return to the center of our country. And people not just from our communities and our families will come flocking to that. They'll come flocking to it from around the world, because I believe people are hungry right now for the truth and a move of God. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.